Hey, good evening, truth seekers. Mike Malloy here on the Mike Malloy program. Thanks for tuning in. I wish we could just spend the 3 hours of the program tonight running first the speech today by Dick Cheney that was televised today and delivered today without any hint of irony or coincidence. Oh, yeah. Because today also is a day that Barack Obama gave another intense presentation of why he takes the position on the situation at Guantanamo and torture that he takes. Dick Cheney, I just finished watching a countdown with Keith Olbermann, and he had a special comment tonight that pretty much laid out Dick Cheney's role in destroying the United States. Why Dick Cheney is allowed to walk free at this point is really beyond me, which the fact that he is allowed to roam free, the fact that he is given airtime, the fact that people do book him to give speeches is a fairly clear indication of the depths of madness that the entire country has sunk into, all of us, you, me, everybody. Until Dick Cheney is stopped, and I mean legally and peacefully stopped, brought before the bar of justice, put on trial after being indicted, charged with war crimes, crimes against humanity, and murder, as his puppet George W. Bush should be. Until that time, we're going to continue to wallow in the madness that is this crazy man's persona. And media are going to continue to give him airtime. Media are going to continue to present him as though this sick, evil man had something rational or logical to say regarding anything of the entire 8 years of his presidency. Regarding, we're going to play some sound for you here in just a second, but it occurred to me last night when it was announced that as a result of an elaborate sting operation is being called, and the arrest of four men in New York City, or in New Jersey, I guess, the four men accused of plotting to bomb a synagogue and shoot down airplanes. In other words, plotting to do exactly the same thing that some of the detainees in Guantanamo and the rest of our torture camps are accused of doing, plotting to bring death and destruction to the United States. Correct? These four men are charged with it is stated that they wanted to commit jihad. This is according to New York City Police Commissioner. And he said that the men were part of a homegrown terrorism movement. Now, given these recent declarations that U.S. prisons are unfit to handle terror suspects, then what are we going to do? What are we going to do with these four men? They're charged with nothing more or less, even though I think one of them has been found to be on some sort of medication for schizophrenia. I'm not sure, but they're not charged with anything more or less than the detainees at Guantanamo, if they are ever charged with anything, would be charged with, to bring death and destruction to the United States. But here we are. Where are these four men tonight? In a lockup in New York City. Oh, my God. So what are we going to do? At one of the blog sites, here's a challenge to the right-wing talking points in regards to the imprisonment of these so-called homegrown terrorists. What should we do with them while they wait trial? And if they're convicted, what then? Isn't it too dangerous? If it's too dangerous to move people at Guantanamo to the United States, it must be much too dangerous to allow these jihadists to run loose in our prisons because they know us culturally. They are Americans. Doesn't that make sense? Because if these four are turned loose in America's prisons, they might provide financing for other jihadists from their supermax cells. They might radicalize other prisoners or use terrorist mind control techniques to create a whole army of brainwashed convicts under the complete control, ready to storm the ramparts and spill into the streets of Main Street, USA, and start devouring our women and children. If we have four jihadists, that's what they call themselves. That's what the people in Guantanamo, we have been led to believe, call themselves. Maybe 10, 20, 50, 100 call themselves jihadists. Those who are not jihadists when they were brought to Guantanamo most surely are now, after the torture routines that they've been put through for the past 7 years. But if those men in Guantanamo are so scary and so dangerous and so the potential of their getting loose and murdering and blowing up and killing and destroying, then what about these four? I mean, is there any place, even a little nook, a little cranny, a little crack where logic can fit in here regarding this argument against bringing people to the United States, placed in detention, and then have their cases be brought before a legitimate court? What? Where is there an argument against that that is logical, that is rational, especially in light of the arrests of four homegrown terrorists they're being described as last night? But there is no logic to any of this. There is no rationality. We have been for 8 years immersed up to our necks in the insanity of mostly one man, this execrable Dick Cheney. This thug, this man who is obviously insane, from all the clickings and tamperings with his heart muscle, all the electrical impulses that are going through his body. No, I'm not exaggerating. This man has been driven nuts. And somehow he's managed to take the entire country with him. Not that we're all crazy as Cheney is, but we all have been forced to go in that direction. To the point where, well, we need to carry guns in national parks now. I mean, that's just one tiny little example, isn't it? We have suspended the Constitution. We've destroyed habeas corpus. We've ended the First Amendment. We've ended the Fourth Amendment. We've ended the Fifth Amendment. I shouldn't say we. The Bush crime family, under the leadership of this sick, sorry, perverted man, Dick Cheney. And there he was today. Where? At the American Enterprise Institute? Enterprise? As in free enterprise? As in Chamber of Commerce? As in what? Dick Cheney needs to be locked up until such time as he can be investigated, indicted, tried, convicted, and sentenced for the rest of his vile, filthy life to prison. Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney is a terrorist, and it has been a direct result of his actions that have cost the lives of 3,000 people on September 11th, another 4,000 in Iraq, another 500. I'm talking about our people in Afghanistan. What is that? What is that? Is that 7,000-8,000 American lives snuffed out because of this rancid, crazed son of a bitch? Dick Cheney needs to go to jail. We'll be right back.
Progressive Talk. It's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. So on top of everything else that Dick Cheney and his puppet left for the next administration to handle, and it happens, it turned out to be the Obama administration, everything that they left, think about what Cheney left. Two wars, the worst financial crisis in the history of this country in 80 years, just unmitigated disaster from coast to coast, border to border. The honor of the United States, however tarnished it was, is completely gone. Dick Cheney destroyed this country. He destroyed this country. And I will issue the challenge that I have issued, oh, I don't know, maybe 150 times to any right-winger, any Republican, any Cheney supporter or sympathizer, to call the program and offer one single action that was taken by Dick Cheney and George Bush that benefited any segment of this country other than the ultra wealthy. One thing. And don't tell me they kept us safe. The sons of bitches cost us 3,000 lives 7 months into their administration after being warned by their own intelligence agencies that an attack was coming. So, if there is one of you degenerate, mind, brain-dead Republicans out there who have the courage, and this is a safe challenge because I know you don't, to call this program and provide one single item, one scrap of evidence that would show that during the 8 years of Cheney and Bush, one single decent thing happened in this country, other than what was given to the robbers and bandits that rode into Washington with Bush and Cheney specifically to steal, I will contribute $1,000 to any charity that you name as long as it's not right wing. And you cannot do it. Cheney. It's as though he has decided it's his responsibility to be the official voice of the Republican Party. I wonder if Limbaugh signed off on this. I'm sure he did. So during Cheney's speech today, during the time the President of the United States gave a speech about closing Gitmo, Cheney popped up. This pig. This murderous pig. And of course, media in this country gave him the attention afforded to someone who's just been arrested for the slaughter of 15 children, a serial killer. That's the only reason Cheney was on the television. Listen as he tells the audience that it's up to him to comment on Obama's policies when he thinks they are unwise. God.
Right now, there's considerable debate in this city about the measures our administration took to defend the American people. Today, I want to set forth the strategic thinking behind our policies. I do so as one who was there every day of the Bush administration, who supported the policies when they were made, and without hesitation would do so again in the same circumstances. When President Obama makes wise decisions, as I believe he has done in some respects on Afghanistan, and in reversing his plan to release incendiary photos, he deserves our support.
You arrogant
and
bastard.
When he faults or mischaracterizes the national security decisions we made in the Bush years, he deserves an answer.
By you?
The point is not to look backward. Now and for years to come, a lot rides on our president's understanding of the security policies that preceded him. And whatever choices he makes concerning the defense of the country, those choices should not be based on slogans and campaign rhetoric, but on a truthful telling of history.
You're kidding, right? A truthful telling of history? You sons of bitches in the Bush administration have issued executive orders denying the American people any reporting on history, truthful or not. But there he stands saying this. He says our administration the measures our administration took to defend the American people. When? When did you defend the American people? When? For the first 7 months of your administration, what did you do? While the forces of evil, if we're going to believe the official story, gathered itself together and slammed this country, Mr. Cheney, on your watch. And where were you, you poisonous bastard? Where were you? Where was your boy, George? You didn't defend or protect this country. You destroyed it. There are 8,000 Americans dead because of you, Dick. He says when he faults or mischaracterizes the national security decisions we made in the Bush years, he deserves an answer. And what national security decisions were those? You didn't keep the country secure. You have some sort of a lying fantasy that you want the rest of America to believe that somehow starting September 12th, 2001, you boys swung into action and kept us all safe. You lying son of a bitch.
But the years have taught me better. Good and evil do not matter. Their words our masters scatter to hide their bloody hands. And what's truth and what's illusion? What's order or confusion? Who's winning or who's losing? Just depends on where you...
Truth seekers, gather round the campfire. It's More Mike Malloy.
Yeah, I know that I have lost it again tonight in terms of language. I keep promising listeners who email me and affiliates, you know, to try to clean up my language. I'll tell you, though, it is very difficult in the setting here, all right? We do this program from a studio here that's kind of isolated in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains. But every single thing that happens here and around here and in the country is a direct result. Everything that's going on right now is a direct result of the murderous policies of George Bush and Dick Cheney. And it is maddening to me that Dick Cheney is putting himself out there as though he is a counterweight to a new president, as though he is the one that has the truth. This arrogant thug who has done so much to ruin the United States, to destroy the country, gives speeches wherein he condescendingly chastises the president of the United States for actions that that president is taking in an attempt to a minimal degree offset the destruction that his predecessors did. And there's Cheney. There's Cheney. This ghoulish person. So, yeah, I apologize for the profanity. In this next bite, Cheney is lecturing Barack Obama about the release of the torture memos, whining that Barack Obama released information about the interrogation methods, but not the wonderful confessions that were obtained through the butchery that came out of Dick Cheney's mind. Maybe because there was no value in the information obtained through torture. And in the speech today, I don't think it's in this particular soundbite, Cheney talks about how the revelations of the tactics used somehow will benefit those in the out there in the Middle East, in South Asia, who will fight until they are dead, their family members are dead, their children and grandchildren are dead because of what Dick Cheney and George Bush and presidents prior to them have done to that part of the world. Here he is again.
Over on the left wing of the president's party, there appears to be little curiosity in finding out what was learned from the terrorist.
Oh, my God.
The kind of answers thereafter would be heard before so-called truth commission. Some are even demanding that those who recommended and approved the interrogations be prosecuted, in effect treating political disagreements as a punishable offense and political opponents as criminals. It's hard to imagine a worse precedent filled with more possibilities for trouble and abuse than to have an incoming administration criminalize the policy decisions of its predecessor. Apart from doing a serious injustice to intelligence operators and lawyers who deserve far better for their devoted service, the danger here is a loss of focus on national security and what it requires. I would advise the administration to think very carefully about the course ahead. All the zeal that has been directed at the interrogations is utterly misplaced, and staying on that path will only lead our government further away from its duty to protect the American people.
It's astonishing. No matter what chunk of this bastard's speech is carved out and turned into a soundbite for parsing by your humble and obedient servant here or anyone else with half a brain, those segments are just loaded, saturated with lies, distortions, and the sickness that is Dick Cheney's mind. Where to begin? Over on the left wing of the president's party, he says, there appears to be little curiosity in finding out what was learned from the terrorists. But Dick, three or four sentences down, you pee all over the idea of a truth commission, which would do just that, to find out what was learned from the terrorists. But it's a safe bet for you, isn't it, Dick? Because you know the documents are classified. You know the CIA is not going to give up anything. And you know that if Obama orders documents to be declassified, it'll give you and your vampiric allies in right-wing talk radio one more thing to attack him with. Oh, he's declassifying documents! He said, you say that some are even demanding that those who recommended and approved the interrogations, the torture, be prosecuted, in effect treating political disagreements as a punishable offense. No, you sick bastard. These are not political disagreements. These were crimes. Look at me, Dick. Crimes! You and your thugs committed crimes. Why else would you have sent your filthy lawyers into these chambers in the Office of Legal Counsel to try and rewrite the law if you weren't committing crimes, you sick bastard, you? And you would advise this administration to think carefully about the course ahead? What does that mean? Does that mean be careful about coming after you and prosecuting you? He sounds like somebody who is in the Nazi high command. He says the danger here is a loss of focus on national security and what it requires. Can these people not come up with anything that isn't right out of Goering's playbook or Himmler's speeches? Anything? He says all the zeal that has been directed at the interrogations is utterly misplaced. It's not at the interrogations, you sick bastard. It is at the illegal activity you authorized, you ordered, and wait till we find out you participated in. And he insists, he continues to insist that they're not crimes. when 110 years of activity by the American military has over and over and over again defined what Cheney ordered as crimes. People have been hanged for committing these acts against American soldiers. And Cheney says they're not crimes. One more. Now this miserable bastard shakes his bony finger at Obama over the closing of Guantanamo, the torture facility there. Somebody ought to tell him he's not in office anymore, you think? Here he is.
On his second day in office, President Obama announced he was closing the detention facility at Guantanamo. This step came with little deliberation and no plan. Now the president says some of these terrorists should be brought to American soil for trial in our court system. Others, he says, will be shipped to third countries. But so far, the United States has had little luck getting other countries to take hardened terrorists. The administration has found that it's easy to receive applause in Europe for closing Guantanamo.
Oh.
But it's tricky to come up with an alternative that will serve the interest of justice and America's national security. I think the president will find upon reflection that to bring the worst of the worst terrorists inside the United States would be cause for great danger and regret in the years to come.
Again, no matter what chunk of his talk to the American enterprise you excise and type out on a sheet of paper and place in front of you, you will find lie upon distortion upon the madness of this sick bastard. Hardened terrorists? The president has had little luck getting other countries to take hardened terrorists. What are you talking about? First of all, who determines that they're, who has determined they're hardened terrorists? When have they been charged, you sick bastard? When have they been indicted? When have they been found guilty by a military commission, a court of law, a firing squad? What difference does it make? What do you mean? Hardened terrorists, says who? Dick? Oh, and you're lying about it's easy to receive applause in Europe for closing Guantanamo. You mean in France, right? He says, I think the president will find upon reflection that to bring the worst of the worst terrorists inside the United States, blah, 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 the worst of the worst, again, based on what? What decision? What court? What jury? What evidence? What charge? This is a sick son of a bitch, and he needs to be brought to justice.
More Flying Monkey Free Fun and Frivolity with Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. It is maddening to listen to Cheney. It was during the 8 years that he corrupted this country and destroyed it, and he has destroyed it. But it is doubly so now to listen to this raving lunatic as he makes the rounds, first talk radio and then talk television, and now his speechifying. It's difficult to remain rational and listen to this man. This man is walking madness. couple of emails. Dan in Lawrenceville, Georgia writes, Mike, passing thought I had today listening to this war criminal speech. He only used the word constitution or constitutional three times, yet he used 9/11 or September 11th 26 times. He goes right back to the old standbys, fear, fear, and more fear. I believe he is baiting the president into releasing these other classified documents because he doesn't believe Obama would do it. I say Obama should release them. Worst case, we learn the truth. Best case, we learn the truth and prove Cheney is a filthy liar. Either way, we win. Dan. This is from Lou. Excuse me. Mike, why is that criminal Cheney being allowed to continue to poison and spew his disgusting America-hating garbage in public? The disgust and intense anger that comes over me every time I hear or see his evilness has no boundaries. That this piece of trash was allowed to serve in public office and high positions in American government and represent and make foreign and domestic policies is not only shameful but disgraceful. Then again, he was and is a part of that cabal of thieves, liars, racists, bigots, and criminals that the blind right wing allow to fester. When will we say enough of this and have the strength to arrest, prosecute, and incarcerate this criminal, along with the other groups of criminals, like W? It will indeed be a glorious and healing day in American history when he's brought to justice. That's from Lou. And Don in Baltimore writes, Mike, Obama versus Cheney. A public war of words. All the world's a stage and Cheney can't help himself. The SOB loves the spotlight. The media love this kind of drama. It sells lots of commercial time, I'll bet. Cheney has an axe to grind and won't go away peacefully. Evil never sleeps or retires gracefully. Cheney is not finished wrecking this nation or our Constitution. He belongs in some prison hellhole somewhere where he can be interrogated and tormented for the rest of his life. But these things never happened to evil people like Dick Cheney. Joseph Stalin died in 1953, a year after I was born, after murdering millions. And they say he died naturally. Perhaps not. Who really knows? Just stick in some new batteries in this evil SOB, Dick Cheney, will just keep going and going and going. I'm looking forward to another neocon Pearl Harbor before the next big election, especially if Cheney is still wandering around this shadowy, dark world. I would bet now that he sleeps alone in some coffin where he has his dark visions for us all in his evil worldview. I agree with you on all this torture and insanity. This nation has long jumped off the rails and has lost its moral compass thanks to creatures like Bush and Cheney, Rice and Rumsfeld, and the whole crime family. Don in Baltimore. You know, if Cheney had just exited the stage like this simpering freak that he manipulated for 8 years, George W. Bush, if Cheney just would have walked off and taken his criminal activity and his murder and his mayhem with him, by this time, the brain-dead American media would have moved on to other things. But that's not Cheney's style. He is driven because I just wish the Freudians could get a hold of this crazy bastard. He's driven to continue to make these statements, continue to try to justify what he and his puppet did for 8 years. It's as though nothing is able to stop him until American media, and this day will never come, until American media decide we've had enough of this rancid bastard and they push him off the stage because he will not go. And the only stage that he's getting that has any consequence whatsoever beyond that realm of crazy right-wingers is the stage given him by American media. And so he continues and will continue trying to undermine the current administration, justify the hideous activities undertaken by his administration. hubris has a way of gathering in the hubristic and destroying them. And my one wish is that that would occur to Dick Cheney, that he be, as the expression is, hoist on his own petard, that he be hanged from the highest yardarm with a rope that he suggested be used against detainees. And I mean that literally. Dick Cheney deserves to be hanged. We hanged people in two wars, three, actually, well, two. World War II and the Spanish-American War. We hanged people for doing what Dick Cheney has ordered. Are we a nation of laws or are we not? We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. Got an email from someone who demanding to know, when am I going to talk about what Obama said today? Jesus, God, give me a chance to get, you got to start somewhere with the program, right? Move on to what Obama said and skip what Cheney and Bush have done to the country. The position they have put the American people and the current American government in with their hideous illegal actions. Well, I'm sorry, but I would like to clear off the old business first. Now, as far as Obama is concerned, yeah, he made some statements today that are horrifying. As Michael Ratner, who is the president of the Center for Constitutional Rights, said today, regarding Obama's speech, quote, the president wrapped himself in the Constitution and then proceeded to violate it by announcing he would send people before irredeemably flawed military commissions and creating a preventive detention scheme that only serves to move Guantanamo to a new location, give it a new name. And the managing attorney for the Center for Constitutional Rights Guantanamo Project, Shiana Kadidal, said, quote, preventive detention goes against every principle our nation was founded on. We have courts and laws in place that we respect and rely on because we have been a nation of laws for hundreds of years. We should not simply discard them when they are inconvenient. The new president is looking a lot like the old, end quote. I wouldn't go quite that far, but Obama yesterday told human rights advocates at the White House, according to the New York Times, that he was considering the need for a preventive detention system. What was that movie? Minority Report. The Tom Cruise movie where they had psychics who could tune in to negative waves flying around the city of people planning murders and go arrest them. Barack Obama is considering a preventive detention system that would establish a legal basis for the United States to incarcerate suspects who are deemed a threat to national security but cannot be tried. What does that mean? People who are deemed to be suspects, terrorism suspects, or considered to be, but are deemed a threat to national security. Who makes these decisions? What the hell is going on? Has Obama slipped through the crack in reality that Dick Cheney created? Are all of us going to flood into that little room of madness that this sick son of a bitch established? It sounds like Obama has one foot in there already. Preventive detention? Oh, my God. Preventive detention. Didn't the Magna Carta do away with that? Well, that was a long time ago, Mike. And who cannot be tried? Who cannot be brought before the bar of justice or a courtroom? The people who first attacked the World Trade Center in 1993, they were tracked down, arrested, indicted, tried, convicted, and jailed. What is different now? 8 years of Bush and 8 years of hideously anti-Muslim policies by Bill Clinton? Is that what's different now? The Times says human rights advocates are growing deeply uneasy with Mr. Obama's stance on these issues, national security matters, especially his recent move to block the release of photographs showing abusive detainees and his announcement that he's willing to try terrorism suspects in military commissions, a concept he criticized bitterly as a presidential candidate. And before someone makes the argument, and I hear this all day long now, well, you know, when you're a candidate, you say one thing, and then you get the reality of what's going on, and you say something else. Is there some reality that says that we should not adhere to our laws, our system of justice? What reality does the president find out that says, no, you have to preventively detain people. You have to deny them habeas corpus. You have to deny them constitutional protections. You've got to do away with criminal courts and replace with military commissions. What in the hell happened from January 19th to January 20th that has so affected this president? The two participants in this 90-minute meeting in the cabinet room the other day, Wednesday, outsiders, the Times says, who spoke on the condition of anonymity because the session was intended to be off the record, said they left the meeting dismayed. They said Obama told them he was thinking about what he called the long game, how to establish a legal system that would endure for future presidents. Yeah, but Bush has already done that. He raised the issue, Obama did, of preventive detention, but made clear that he had not made a decision on it. What's to decide? That's not the United States, goddammit. That is somewhere else. This is what 8 years of color-coded terror alerts and poking a sharp stick into every Muslim community on earth to see to what degree we can irritate them and murder them and kill them and rape their families and butcher their babies and blow up their cars and absolutely destroy them to see what kind of a reaction we can get? Well, here's the reaction. Looks like the United States is right on the verge or right on the cusp of being killed, being murdered by a Democratic president? A president from the Democratic Party is going to do the, how do you pronounce it, Kathy? You took French, the coup de grace? Is that where we are? One of the participants who is ratting out the discussion said, quote, he was almost ruminating over the need for statutory change to the laws so that we can deal with individuals who we can't charge and detain. Well, if we can't charge them and can't detain them, what is the need to deal with them? If we can't charge them, that means there is not there is no evidence that a crime was being considered. Because if there's evidence a crime is being considered, yes, you can detain someone. And if there's no evidence, if there's nothing there, then what's the problem with not being able to detain them? What the hell is going on? If there's not probable cause, then let's change it. Possible cause, fantasy cause, way out in left field cause. If there's nothing there, then why is a president of the United States, this president, considering new laws to step over or ignore or avoid the fact that there's nothing there to charge people with or detain them so that we can charge them and detain? No, not charge them, not detain them. Have some different word so that we can fibrillate them and put them into a prison cell and hold them indefinitely. What is that? What is that called? That's called the Soviet Union, isn't it? That's called tyranny, isn't it? That's called a dictatorship, isn't it? Is that called a democratic president of the United States? No, it isn't. The participant, who obviously represented one of the human rights organizations, said, we've known this is on the horizon for many years, preventive detention, but we were able to hold it off with George Bush. The idea that we might find ourselves fighting with the Obama administration over these powers is stunning. End quote.
Hey, Portland man, a traveler on an airline had his name on a secret list. He was taking away with his laptop, and as he left, he called out to me. I'm in the end one time more. I heard the girls are sweeter there. Meet me in one time more. We'll have a water board to share. Meet me in one
time more. May your song always be.
I can't begin to tell you all the reason why you're making me crazy.
Arm yourself with the truth. It's More Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. You know, I'll tell you another crazy producing activity. Listening to Dick Cheney is one. Living in this country for the past 8 years is another. But the third one, keeping everything current, is listening to the president, the new president, Barack Obama, for whom so many people in this country who believed in justice and the return to constitutional law busted their asses to get elected, to hear him or reports of his musings about preventive detention, about people that can't be tried, can't be brought to trial. Now, Michael writes in and says, well, yeah, but, you know, what the ones that can't be tried are the ones who were tortured and the ones whose witnesses against them were tortured. Because to bring them to trial would require, or to bring them into a court would require war crimes trials against the people who did that to them. Well, okay. Yes. And if there are people who were tortured and confessions were gotten, then what of what use is that as evidence against them? I disagree with the idea that there is anyone who is a suspect. We have a criminal justice system as screwed up as it is, as many innocent people as there are in prisons and jails, as many people who decided to smoke weed or smoke crack or whatever the hell it was, who wind up finding themselves facing 20 years to life. We have a criminal justice system that is askew, but we have a judicial system that is perfectly capable of handling suspects who might be charged after an investigation, after probable cause, after evidence is presented to a grand jury, might be charged with crimes against the United States. Dick Cheney comes to mind very quickly. But to say, as Barack Obama appears to be saying, that preventive detention, for what length of time, for Christ's sake? If they can't be tried, they can't be indicted, they can't even be charged, but we're going to lock them up for how long, Mr. President Obama? For the rest of their lives, obviously, right? Or until what? They promise never to do it again? To do what again? What they confessed to under drowning? Or what they confessed to being locked up forever in a supermax prison and never having been brought to trial? What in the goddamn hell is going on? This is madness. This is madness. The other participant who is ratting out the conversation said Obama did not seem to be thinking about preventive detention for terrorists and suspects now held at Guantanamo, but rather for those captured in the future in settings other than a legitimate battlefield like Afghanistan. The issue is, the participant said, what are the options left open to a future president? The options that were open to previous presidents? What is different here? What is going on? Somebody threatens the United States? Somebody sneaks into the country and commits murder? Somebody attacks the country? Is there a problem with how to respond? Has the sickness of Dick Cheney and the Bush crime family reached to the level of Barack Obama? Really? That quickly? How long ago was he a constitutional law professor, and what is he talking about now? This is madness. This is insanity. What are the options left open to a future president, he wants to know. The participant says that is the rhetorical question with which this participant left the meeting with Barack Obama. Terrorism suspects captured in the future. If they are a terrorism suspect, then don't you present evidence? Don't, as the four terrorism suspects that were just busted in New York, or was it New Jersey? I guess New York. Don't you present evidence? Don't you say, looky here, looky here. Here's probable cause. Hey, find us a judge and let's lock them up on suspicion of planning to commit an act of terror against the United States. What am I missing? What am I missing here? I'll tell you what, when we come back, maybe somebody can please, I'm begging you, help me out with this. I do not have enough education, apparently, or insight, or experience, or common sense, or respect for the law, or understanding of the Constitution to understand what in the hell Barack Obama's talking about. Maybe you do. Let's find out when we come back. Stay with us. Nothing's right. You have the right.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's Mike Malloy.
He went to fight wars his country and his king.
25 before the hour.
And his glory. The people.
He's a liberal with a microphone. You know, I don't. I don't think that's true anymore. I pretty much have been washed clean of any political affiliation or political philosophy at this point. I really have, not by choice, but just by having been here for the past 25 years. Liberalism, I think, now don't get your, you know, Bermudas in a wad, but I think liberalism is dead. I know conservatism is dead. There, if there's a third way or something available, then it's up to former liberals or so-called progressives to figure it out, I guess. But the old liberal policies, the liberal ideas required certain things for them to work, like a healthy middle class, like jobs, an industrial base, farms that were owned by farmers and not Monsanto. You understand what I mean. Liberalism is more of a way of life than a political philosophy. It always was to me anyway. It's how one lived one's life. How can you be a liberal in a country now that has done what the Bush crime family has done to us and now has a president who is musing about preventive detention? No, I'm sorry. Liberalism is dead. But let me give you some dissenting opinion here from emailers that I certainly respect. First one's from Reg. Mike, my thoughts. Obama's speech today was primarily directed at the idiot Democrats who voted against the closure of Gitmo, not the U.S. public or his Obama's supporters. He knows this is all about appeasing a frightened and uninformed constituency all over the country, and he chose to say things they could take home. I'm convinced Obama knows the name of the game and is playing it cleverly. He clearly said that every decision he makes would be subject to oversight by the Congress and the Supreme Court. He is smart enough to know that preventive detention would never pass muster in the courts. I do believe that Obama is a super politician whose every word is calculated. Cheney is out there again frightening the public about imminent terrorist attacks, and Obama has to walk a very thin line between calming the Congress and the public, and what he knows is morally correct. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. For the moment, it's Obama versus Harry Reid and the other wimps in Congress. This is all the next inning in a game we've been playing for a very long time. It's called politics. Reg. Well, okay, I hear that, and I certainly understand. But the line here in Reg's email, he's smart enough to know that preventive detention would never pass muster in the courts. Why not? The current makeup of the U.S. Supreme, the current makeup of the entire federal judiciary is right wing. A. B. The Constitution has been effectively suspended 8 or 9 years ago. So not pass muster in the courts. There have been a couple of rulings, I understand, about the rights of detainees, the rights of enemy combatants, and so on and so forth. But have there not also been other laws passed, or I'm sorry, other interpretations by the court that say, in fact, these people are non-persons in the sense of Stalin and the Soviet Union? They are non-persons. They don't have any rights. Hasn't that been made clear? I don't know, but I disagree that preventive detention would never pass muster in the courts. If this country is pushed to the point, as the Cheney-Bush cabal tried to do, where we are afraid of our own shadows, how difficult would it be to find Supreme Court? All it takes is a swing vote to push us into that. We already have four justices who would declare preventive detention somehow, some way, acceptable within the framework of the U.S. Constitution. I believe that. Prairie 2 writes, at one point in Obama's speech today, he misspoke, saying, quote, I took an oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution as Commander-in-Chief, end quote. This would be a constitutional error in that he did not take the office as Commander-in-Chief, but rather as President of the United States. Commander-in-Chief is a responsibility of the office he holds and not his office. unlike the trained chimp who soiled the Oval Office rug and thought he had been elected commander-in-chief, or the psychopath who held his leash, Obama does understand this. In the context of Obama's speech about the war crimes committed by the Bush crime family, he refers to himself as commander-in-chief and to the president's oath of office in the same sentence. He's making the point that the president cannot suspend the Constitution of the United States just because he likes to play dress-up soldier games. He's also sending a message to Cheney and his ilk that he is the most powerful single man on the planet, having been duly elected president of the United States by the people rather than having been appointed by his daddy's cronies. The reports of Obama wanting to act like the Bush crime family and preemptively detain people has got to be bat squeeze. Conspiracy charges are enough to incarcerate anybody who is a real threat. The idea that Obama is considering what amounts to a gulag system and doing so in an open meeting, no less, is not believable. Pray too, it wasn't an open meeting. It was an off-the-record meeting. And word got out because two participants decided to rat out what was said. So, just that minor adjustment to what you wrote. This comes from John at Ferry Woodland. I don't think there has been a president since Kennedy or Lincoln whose life was more in danger than President Obama. When you consider the fact that he is surrounded by a CIA whose affiliations go back to Bush Sr. when he was doing naughty things in South and Central America, an FBI and a Secret Service who for 8 years have had allegiance to Bush and Cheney and the rest of the gang. So far, nothing that Obama has done has changed my faith in his inherent goodness. I realize that many of the things that he has done fall far short of what I would like him to be doing. But I realize that he may be doing as much as he can given the circumstances. It's very important to me that he stay alive. When I look at Congress and the level of support that they have accorded this president, I'm quite astonished by their lack of statesmanship. But they, too, may have reasons for doing what they're doing. And I find it ironic that I'm in a position of having to be patient and wait until our country can rise to the occasion of doing the right thing as a nation. We, the people, cannot so easily be absolved of our complicity in this era, nor the past horrendous deeds of our military at the direction of the government that we elected. I thought to myself about the people that had been incarcerated in Guantanamo, some of them having been tortured, some of them merely having been ripped out of their day-to-day existence, of being able to hug their wives and their children, of being able to talk to their grandfathers and grandmothers, to simply go out into their fields and hoe their crops, to drive their cabs or whatever it is that they were doing. Ordinary life has been ripped out of them. If you asked the Dalai Lama what he would do, he would probably set up a place where these people could be very well taken care of. They would be fed, their wounds, both psychological and physical, would be dressed and healed and compassionately cared for. And when they were again whole human beings, if that is even possible, freed from the torment of their sojourn with us Americans, returned to their village or wherever else they wanted to be. That's assuming they have something to go back to. That their family and their village has not been collateral damage in this very important war. Surely we owe them that much. I think it's important to remember that we have now created an entire generation of our own men and women who are going to be returning to our country free in the general population of their community with a hair-trigger response to seemingly innocuous occurrences of daily life, like a car backfire, a helicopter flying over, and an attitude in the military-medical complex that they just need to put it behind them. And we know that without deep psychological help, that's simply not possible. And even with the best of care, they may be affected for life. And they can now carry guns in national parks. And we're afraid of incarcerating the terrorists in this country? John. Three people whose essential point of view is different, at least perhaps not substantively, but different from what I've been screaming about on tonight's program. We have one open line here if you want to join in, 877-996-2556. Pam is calling from Dallas, Texas. Pam, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Pam.
Hey, let me go in so I can hear you. I'm friends with that brilliant nut that sent you the piece that you read the other night on Rumsfeld.
Oh, the one written in the style of Samuel Beckett.
Yes, yes.
Uh-huh.
I actually, he hadn't listened to you before, and he read it to me, and just on a whim, I said, send that to Mike. He will read
He's your significant other.
No, he's not my significant other. He's my friend.
He's your friend. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, what gets to me is, why are we still listening to Dick Cheney right now?
Hey, hold on, Pam, hold on. Let me put you on hold. I got to do a break here. I'll put you on hold and come back right after the break. This is the Malloy Program. Stay with us. Okay? Okay?
Redefining anger management. It's Mike Malloy.
No, I wish I did have anger management. No anger management here. 10 before the hour. Back to Pam in Dallas, Texas. All right, where were we?
I think I was at the point where I was talking about why are we even giving Dick Cheney any platform right now at all. Why won't he just go away? He's been hiding for the last 8 years, and it just bothers me. I can't even watch him on TV. He looks like a piranha to me. He has too many teeth on his lower jaw or something. I don't know what it is.
I think that's it.
Oh, my God. I mean, something is wrong with that troglodyte. But and then another thing that bothers me is that Obama is kowtowing to this. And just when when he made that one point about that it may take up to 5 years for these people that are in prison to get justice, I don't want to beat the dead horse, but, I mean, what happened to habeas corpus? What happened to due process?
Right.
I can tell you as an American with my own personal anecdote going through, the legal justice system here, that it sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Just being an American and a white American, it sucks. And it's such a travesty, you know. I can't believe that we have so many people that are just put away and maybe innocent, and they're not even going to get to lawyer up and have the same opportunities that most of us have because they're just locked away and we're not even going to know the truth ever. I don't know. It's just so wimpy and flimsy to me, the whole thing.
Well, it's also immoral and unethical.
Absolutely.
And it destroys what we were supposed to be about. You know, I've never maintained this country was formed or put together in a rush of goodness and love and peace. This country was put together on genocide and racism and slavery. But there was at least some documentary evidence in the Constitution that the great experiment was there. If people much more enlightened or much more developed than the framers could just put it into play, and apparently we're not going to be able to do that. 232 years after the founding, here we are talking about locking people up,
right,
with no charge. And no chance to see the evidence against them by the government that locked them up.
And much less get legal representation. I mean, you know, I mean, at the very least.
Yeah.
God.
Well, I'm not real optimistic about the way things are going to go, Pam. Hey, thanks. I appreciate you checking in. Take care. Call again. Our Love writes in, granted, what Obama said today is courageous. Granted, some of us don't feel his actions are swift and direct enough so far, but today he stepped his ass right up front on top of his platform. First thing this morning and directly facing the opposition, he spoke right up and out loud and strong that his vision, his goals, and his intentions will not be deterred. He is brilliant. He is a brilliant and enlightened world leader. Okay. Ron is calling from Ambler, PA. Ron, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Mike.
Is this Ron? Is this?
Yeah, I wanted to call because I just kind of went through, like, read through his speech, and the one question that really sticks in my mind is, like, he really mentions nothing about the legal basis for the war in Iraq. He only talks about the sort of antecedents, the things that, like, you know, happened to it, you know, in that sort of broad brush way, the 9/11 sort of reference to things. And,
right.
And he sets down, like, you know, what several decisions he had to make with regard to the types of people that they're being held at Guantanamo. And I think it was like the third group you're talking about, where, you know, they really haven't broken any laws or anything, but, you know, if they did break any laws in the past, they can't be charged now, and, you know, they're just a threat to the United States, so we need to hang on to them. I mean, I read through this, and you can be whatever, you can take whatever position you want on Obama, but you know what, I'm getting really kind of already tired of being apologetic for him.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
I feel like
it's sort of like, all right, he got elected on a platform, and I listened to him sort of like, you know, noodle around linguistically with, you know, what, well, you know, I said something about, you know, transparency, but, you know, here's this caveat, there's that caveat. I mean, mm-hmm. he's talking out both sides of his mouth. That's what I'm feeling. I just kind of skimmed through. I bolded some things, and I don't know. I swear to God, for the last couple of weeks, I've been sort of listening to you mm-hmm. and sort of looking at my email to come in and looking at, you know, the various postings I get. But I'm really disenchanted. I've reached a point of, like, going, okay, I'm just going to wait it out and see what happens. But I'm not too optimistic, to tell you the truth.
You're not optimistic about the future of the country?
I'm not optimistic about the future of the country. I think something's really happened where people have just lost the facility to actually, you know, take seriously the idea of self-governance, you know, that you really have to be active. And I mean in a real active way. Like, you know, we're so unwilling to sacrifice anything. You know, we will not sacrifice our, you know, our comforts for our liberty. It's that, you know, that cliche, you know, that, you know, notion of Ben Franklin's, right, you know.
Right.
I get, you know, he's paying a lot of lip service in his speech to the rule of law, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he still plays that sort of fear card, that sort of Bush fear card about 9/11. And I'm reading this thing, this sort of biography on Hannah Arendt, and one thing she said about totalitarianism over and over again is that the main tool that they use to unhinge people from, like, you know, their democratic processes is fear.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's using it.
He is.
And I'm looking at that, I'm
he
like
is.
Going, what the heck
but,
is he doing?
But, you know, Hannah Arendt, Ron, I got to leave it there. Thanks, pal. Hannah Arendt also talked about the banality of evil. And I think that is absolutely Dick Cheney.
story in your eyes. It's been shining down.
Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. Anthony Romero, who is the executive director of the ACLU, has sent an email to ACL supporters. It says in part, we were pleased to hear President Obama speak so movingly about respect for the Constitution, about the critical importance of due process, and about the horrible violation of American values that torture represents. We do, however, strongly disagree with the president that modifying Bush-era military commissions can solve their basic injustice. Any system designed to produce a preordained outcome rather than a free and fair trial is irreparably unjust. Furthermore, creating a system of indefinite detention, holding detainees for years without facing charges, is a fundamental violation of the Constitution. I don't think Romero's email says anything that that most people, most progressives, liberals, you know, normal people, screw the right-wingers, the Republicans. They couldn't find their ass with both hands and their mamas. But for normal people, I think Romero's statement is kind of redundant. Of course we know this. Of course we do. And I'm getting emails from people who continue to want to support Obama because they see something, obviously, that we haven't seen in a long time in a leader. By the same token, I have to tell you, regardless of tactics, regardless of strategies, regardless of what he may find as a very serious threat against his presidency or his own personal health and safety, that might result in his making these kinds of declarations and statements. You know, it still bothers me. It is worrisome to me for this reason. We have been lied to and faced the duplicity of candidates for public office so many times. How many of us left are not cynical? How many of us left are not getting to the verge of saying to hell with this and tossing in the towel, so to speak, and saying, you know, game over, I've had enough. I'm just tossing the questions. I don't have any answers, and these are not challenges. I'm just saying that there has been too much that has passed as governance that was, in fact, the destruction of the underpinnings of this country. And now I hear this president mouthing what essentially an educated right winger would be saying. Not Bush, forget Bush, not Cheney. Cheney is a madman. But what an educated right winger would be saying when we talk about, or when he talks about, even in passing, even if it's a tactic, when he talks about, if in fact he did, because we're getting this secondhand, when he talks about mulling over the idea of preventive detention because he is nonplussed where it concerns how to handle people that we have in detention now, so-called enemy combatants, creations that were developed by the Bush crime family, it's as though the actions taken against these people by the Bush crime family has come full circle. They are not human. And if they're not human, then why bother with the niceties of law? Why bother with issues that were decided 700 years ago on a field in England? 800 years ago, why bother with this stuff? If these are non-humans, if these detainees, enemy combatants, the worst of the worst, who decided this? How was this conclusion arrived at? There has been not one charge or that I'm aware of that resulted in a trial and conviction at Guantanamo. Has there been? or Bagram Air Base, or Abu Ghraib, or any of these black holes that have been established by the previous administration that seem to continue to suck people into them? Or are they not people? They've been pretty much declared to be not people. There are people, and then there are not people. And not people have absolutely no presence before the bar, reason to present themselves before a bar of justice. When I hear this president saying the things that he's saying about certain key issues, sure, there are other things that I listen and I think, well, good for him. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I'm glad to see that turn around. Yeah, okay, back to reality over there. Okay, this has been removed. Okay, that's good. Okay, that's good. But these are they not? These are peripheral issues. We are talking here about core issues, about essential issues to what this country is. Preventive detention? What the hell is that? Interminable detention, locked away someplace because of what has happened up to this point, because of the madness of Dick Cheney. And what has happened up to this point is people have been tortured, people have been denied their rights, and now they are unchargeable, unconvictable, and so we have to keep them. Why do we have to keep them? What is this? This is what has happened as a result of 8 years of Dick Cheney. We have been forced into discussions like this one. That's this is the true obscenity of these bastards that were appointed by the Supreme Court. This is the true obscenity that we have to think about this stuff, those of us who are trying to think a way out of this, a path through this madness. And maybe there isn't any. Maybe it's a fait accompli. This grand experiment, as it was called, maybe it has ended. And maybe now it is just a matter of adjusting to, what do you want to call it, the new world order? That has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? What do you want to call it? What does anybody want to, or is it just a tactic? Is this just the genius of Barack Obama at play here? Is this just the incredible ability of those around him to wave a hand over here so that we look while over here they're really solving things? Is that what this is? Is it a tactic? Is it a strategy? Or is it simply what it is? Is there nothing really to look for here? There are no rocks to turn over, no dark corners to shine a light into. What you see is what you get. Is that what's going on? Who knows? But I'll tell you what, it's worrisome to me and spooky because as weak as this sounds, and it sounds weak to me, I saw Barack Obama as flawed as he was as a corporatist, as the last best hope that this country had where it concerned presidential politics. Do you see anyone else on the horizon? Do you see an evolving of candidates to the point where the rule of law or morality or ethics is going to return, are going to return? So in perhaps my naivety, my weakness, I thought, okay, Barack Obama's the man. I can tell he has an understanding of the law by looking at him. I can tell he has compassion and empathy by listening to him. Fool me once, shame on you, right?
waiting for you to follow me. Excuse me, I'm looking for...
Ready for a liberal helping of truth? It's More Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. Charlie is calling from San Antonio, Texas, listening on Sirius. Hey, Charlie.
Hey, Mike. Yeah, thanks for everything you do out there, Mike. You help keep me sane.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, well, anyway, the reason I called, I think maybe it's time to resubmit the Magna Carta to this president, you know?
You think?
We expected this stuff from the last one, you know, but now this one here, I you know, this whole thing with detention for presumptive detention or whatever that
preventive detention. Or indefinite detention for the people we've already glommed up. I mean, both ideas are perversions.
Yeah, and I'm tired of hearing presidents tell us that their number one job is to protect the American people.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's the Constitution. They take an oath to the Constitution. If their job was to protect the American people, what about health care? You know, we all know people who've died of cancer.
Sure.
Everybody knows somebody who's died on our nation's highways because
sure.
the cars maybe aren't safe enough.
That's right.
But, you know, most people don't know anybody who's died in terrorism.
That's
the
right.
whole terrorism thing's a scam anyway. It's a, you know, Bush crime family sales job.
Mm.
Halliburton and Lockheed Martin and Boeing, you know, they all make a buck on the deal. And I think this president's bought into it. You know, I don't know. I don't really want to read between the lines with this president. You know, we didn't have to do that with Harry Truman or FDR. You know, they told it to us straight.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm tired of second guessing this president and you know, and I want to give him every chance possible. I mean, I'd like to believe in this guy, but, it's getting harder and harder to do all the time.
I know. I know exactly what you're talking about, Charlie. That's the thing that's driving me to the edge too. I don't know. Listen, man, I got to move on. Thanks. I appreciate what you had to say. All right. Late this afternoon, Justin Elliott, writing at tpmmuckraker.com, has something to say. If you saw today's New York Times, the front page, Elizabeth Boumeller, who writes for the Times, in the upper right-hand corner of the newspaper, above the fold, 1 in 7 detainees returned to jihad, Pentagon finds. Elizabeth Boumeller is now casting doubt on her own claim in that front page story. And by the way, the story was pounced on by the right and quickly picked up on cable that 1 in 7 detainees released from Guantanamo, quote, returned to terrorism or militant activity, end quote. According to appearing on MSNBC today, Boumeller said, quote, there is some debate about whether you should say returned because some of them were perhaps not engaged in terrorism, as we know. Some of them are being held there on vague charges, end quote. Boumeller's claim, and again, this is Justin Elliott writing at TPM Muckraker, Boumeller's claim is so striking because her page A1 story in the print edition of the Times today, which ran under the headline, 1 in 7 detainees rejoined jihad, Pentagon finds, the article began, quote, an unreleased Pentagon report provides new details concluding that about 1 in 7 of the 534 prisoners already transferred abroad from the detention center in Guantanamo has returned to terrorism or militant activity, according to administration officials. The conclusion could strengthen the arguments of critics who have warned against releasing any more prisoners as part of President Obama's plan to shut down the prison by January 2010. End of a quote from the story. Boumeller's story relied on a Pentagon report obtained by the New York Times that found, quote, 74 prisoners released from Guantanamo have returned to terrorism, making for a recidivism rate of nearly 14%, end quote. The story was quickly picked up online by cable news. Various right-wing outlets seized on the report. In the MSNBC segment, Andrea Mitchell noted the detainees, quote, return to jihad, end quote. But something bothered us yesterday. Did Boumiller and her editors consider the possibility that a six-year stay at Gitmo could actually create terrorists? Then an innocent Afghan man, embittered after being scooped up by the United States and unjustly imprisoned for years, might actually become a terrorist? As former Colin Powell Chief of Staff Lawrence Wilkerson has written, quote, largely unreported is that several in the U.S. leadership became aware of this lack of proper vetting very early on, and thus of the reality that many of the detainees were innocent of any substantial wrongdoing, had little intelligence value, and should be immediately released. The philosophy that was developed to justify keeping many of these people held that it did not matter if the detainee were innocent. Indeed, because he lived in Afghanistan and was captured on or near a battle area, he must know something of importance, end quote, Lawrence Wilkerson. Wilkerson further points out the plausibility of a person facing harsh treatment for 7 years in jail as an innocent man becoming a terrorist. Boumiller and her editors seem to have realized the possibility that they might have gotten spun, though too late to change the front page story in the print edition. We'll be right back.
Uh-oh, he just had another cup of coffee. Here's Mike Malloy.
Justin Elliott, writing at tpmmuckraker.com, just want to finish this up, that Elizabeth Boumiller, who wrote the story that one in seven detainees returned to jihad after being released, according to the Pentagon, now she and the editors of New York Times are reconsidering what she wrote. Of course, it's too late now. The story has been picked up by every right-wing thug in the country and probably people in Barack Obama's inner circle, as a means of saying, look, you can't bring these people to the United States. You can't put them on trial. You can't release them. And now it turns out that the story is not necessarily true. Picking up where we left off, Justin Elliott writes, the paper has changed the lead and the headline of the web version of this story to reflect the uncertainty. The new headline now reads, quote, later terror link cited for one in seven freed detainees, end quote. And the lead says, quote, an unreleased Pentagon report concludes that about one in seven of the 534 prisoners already transferred abroad from the detention center at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, are engaged in terrorism or militant activity, according to administration officials, end quote. Now compare that to the original version. The original version said, an unreleased Pentagon report provides new details concluding that about one in seven of the 534 prisoners already transferred abroad from the detention center in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, has returned, not engaged, has returned to terrorism or militant activity, according to administration officials. The new version of the piece still uses returned to terrorism in the 12th paragraph. None of this is to say we shouldn't consider all of the national security implications of releasing Gitmo detainees, but we should consider it, too, if Gitmo has a hand in pushing formerly innocent people to join anti-American terrorist groups. And let's at least get our historical facts straight. I would add, in terms of pushing, as Justin Elliott says, pushing innocent people to acts of terror, how about pushing otherwise sane people to a position of absolute madness? Let me ask you something, truth seeker. As I'm sitting here fairly comfortable in my studio in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains, and you're sitting fairly comfortably wherever you're sitting, let me pose the question to you. If you were detained for 7 years by a foreign power who swept into your country and snatched you, and you had done nothing, and you had been tortured and forced to live in dog cages, and force-fed, if you were one of the people, one of the detainees who said, enough of this, I'm not going to eat anymore, I want to die, and your captors stuck a tube into your stomach and force-fed you, you have no legal rights, you have no right to talk to an attorney, the only thing you're given, if you want one, is a prayer rug and your holy book, and told, look, this is the way it is. You have no way out, you don't know how you got in. What in the hell would you become? I would become a bloodthirsty, screaming, goddamn freak who, once I was freed, would do everything in my power to destroy whatever force it was that did that to me. What would you do, comfortable American? So, Dick Cheney and George Bush's little experiment in snatching people from wherever and torturing them and renditioning them and ending their lives effectively. And I'm not talking about the ones they had murdered. Would you become a terrorist? I wouldn't hesitate for 10 seconds. You let me out of that dog pen and I'll do everything in my power to kill you. And if I can't kill you, I will charge my sons to kill you. And if they can't, then my daughters. And if they can't, my grandchildren. But somehow, I will wreak damage on you for what you have done to me. I did nothing to you. Nothing. I was a goat herder, a taxi cab driver, a talk radio host. I did nothing to you, you filthy bastard. And you came to my country and snatched me and tortured me and put me in this pen for 8 years. And now what? What happens when I get out now? I'll tell you what will happen. I will try to kill you. You think? Man. I'm lost, man. Aren't you? Huh? Are you lost? Are you lost, truth seeker, or do you have it all figured out, huh? Tim is calling from Detroit, listening on XM. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Mike. I'd like to kind of respond to that last question.
Sure.
That I find very interesting. An uncle of mine was actually captured by the Nazis during the Second World War. And somehow, I don't know all the details, he managed to escape during the whole war when the Nazis, they ended up eventually being driven out of Greece around late 44. He was involved in the Greek resistance. He did whatever he could to try to stop the Nazis. He blew up trains.
Sure.
He killed German soldiers.
Absolutely.
There were army depots attacked. I mean, he was involved in all that, and he's proud of that to this day. So I think the answer is pretty obvious. Let me try to juxtapose that, though, with something that was said on Rachel's show a few weeks ago. There was a professor, and I can't remember his name. Now, he claimed that less than 10 supposed detainees mm-hmm. from Guantanamo and other places in the world held by the United States, when they were released, had actually been found to engage in any so-called jihadist activity. This is what the professor's claim was.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was this notion back then, too, that over 50 detainees that had been released had engaged in jihadist activity. So we have to kind of watch this story. I mean, the right wing is going to jump on it and definitely going to make hay out of it.
Yeah, and at this point, I think anyone in this country who, without qualification, believes what the CIA or the high command of the U.S. military, what they say in regard to what we have done over the past 7 or 8 years, anyone who believes that without qualification, without any kind of fact-checking, is a fool. In the first place, and I've been saying this, I don't know how many times, for how many years, if you take a look at the history of the CIA, what you see is by definition a terrorist organization. If you take a look at the United States military over the past 100 years, with one or two glaring exceptions, what you see is a powerful military force that has been misused by the people who are in positions of being commander-in-chief, who were in fact responding to what corporate America wanted, not what people anywhere wanted. So I am to sit here now, or you are, or anyone in this country, and to believe an unreleased Pentagon report that says 74 of the released detainees have returned to or gone to jihad, and to take that as truth. Again, were I one of the detainees, and I could pick any 10 of my friends, men and women, and if the 11 of us were released, I will guarantee you that all 11 of us would do everything in our power to seek the kind of revenge that is nothing but blood-soaked for what had happened to us. And I say that without qualification. I know myself. I know the people I hang out with, and I know that to be true. So, as I said a minute ago, Dick Cheney and George Bush and the policies of that administration have created a generation of potential terrorists.
What a lot of Americans, and I guess I'll use that term, people who are born here, maybe immigrants get this because I'm one. They don't understand that whatever the American government tells its people, the United States throughout over 100 years has been seen as an invading force and a corrupting force throughout most parts of the world. This includes Latin America, Africa, right. Southern Europe. There have been dictatorships established. There have been oil enterprises that have been illegally, they've gone illegally into these countries and they've ripped off their oil. It's still going on in Nigeria, for example. And it doesn't matter what the American government tells its people. The fact is, if you go into a country illegally, those people will fight you. Guaranteed. It's going to happen every time.
Yeah, and if they don't, then any country that will not resist an invader on some level probably deserves to be overthrown and to be subjugated. Tim, I got to leave it there. Thanks. I appreciate you checking in. And I misspoke. I didn't mean to say that people who would be released from torture and from detention for 8 years would then become active in terrorism. That would not be terrorism. That would be revenge. It would be seeking some sort of relief. And again, I have no doubt. What would I do? What would you do? Sit back after having 7 years of your life stolen and your dignity stripped from you and your soul ripped and stomped on by a bunch of invaders? What would you do? Would you sit back and say, oh, well, peace be upon you? Huh, not me. Thanks to the crew. who once again somehow managed to dazzle you for the past 3 hours, right? Hey, listen, if you haven't become a podcast subscriber yet, I hope you will. We're just deadly serious about that. Go to MikeMalloy.com. It'll cost you 25 cents a program. We being Kathy and me in the immediate moment, and the people who also help put this program together, are the hardest working people in talk radio. Or did James Brown say that? Oh well. Thanks to Kathy, who engineered and produced, Ben Birch, who is our technical advisor, handles the podcasts and the Malloy's Uncensored Mailbag stuff, Sharon Gordy, who is our military affairs correspondent, and is just freaking out. I read her emails about some of this stuff. Sharon is has a long history with people in her family being in the military, and she certainly is familiar with what it's all about. And with these revelations coming one after another, it's difficult for some of the people that contribute to this program. Bob Alexander and Bridget Wolf are our ethical advisor. Bruce Enberg, our economic correspondent. So this little crew of contributors is what makes the program. Thanks to everybody. Appreciate it. Michael is in the Bronx, listening online. Michael, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Always a great pleasure to talk to you. You know, if you've been, well, I know you have been looking at what's been going on the past 48 to 72 hours. I would say it seems to be like a sinister soap opera starring the manipulative Dick Cheney and his corporate right-wing bastards. You know, this, look at the mix that they're doing with Nancy Pelosi. They want to grill her. They say that she should be investigated. Investigated for what?
Mm.
You know, she says she doesn't, she was never informed about torture being used. And the key thing that she said was, go to the memos, go to the memos. The stupid bastards that want to have her head are now saying, no, we don't want to go that road. You don't want to go that road.
Right.
But this also opens up a can of, another can of worms going back to 9/11. Remember how the people, especially those that lost family members, they found out that Bush and company knew about 9/11 before 9/11, that they blew the warning about the PDB. Mm-hmm. And then when the people wanted an independent investigation, what does Bush say? No, we can't do that because that's like feeding information to the enemy.
Yeah.
So what do we have here? You have a woman that defends herself, saying that she was not informed about torture, and she has evidence to back it up and is ready to use it. But then when there's evidence that's supposed to, what's that word I'm looking for?
Exonerate?
Incriminate.
Indict, incriminate, okay.
Incriminate Bush, now they want to hide. As far as I'm concerned, anybody that turns around and tries to hide anything, they just, they got something to hide, and they know damn well it's going to be incriminating.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the meantime, you find out that Dick Cheney keeps showing off his ugly face on television, defending his position, saying torture works, torture works, torture works, which doesn't. It's illegal. And even as Stephanie Miller once said, that this whole thing is not about Nancy Pelosi, because she never gave the damn order. It was Bush and Cheney.
Right.
Why the hell aren't they being questioned? These right-wingers, they turn around and defend Cheney saying torture works, but then got the gall to say that Pelosi needs to be investigated? What the hell is this crap?
Yeah,
it's absolutely insane. It's insane in the membrane. I don't know how many, you know, I just wish people would see what the hell is going on here, and it's just a big spin, and the right-wingers just, it's another situation like this, that just when they think they got the answers, people like you and people like me and people like our fellow truth seekers listening, we're the ones that change the questions. Am I not correct?
You're correct, but to the extent that it does any good, I really have no idea. Hey, listen, thanks, Michael. We're just about out of time here. I appreciate you checking in. You know, I think one would like to think that keeping or initiating discussion about this sort of thing and this sort of thing being the lies of the Bush administration, but also the apparent, I say apparent, waffling and hesitation on part of the Obama administration, that discussing it would somehow change it or build enough energy to change it. And I sometimes wonder about that. I think, like most people who think at least a little bit in their day-to-day lives about all this and about the direction we're going and about how spooky it appears to be, you know, I'm just getting to the point where there has to be some sort of major break by the Obama administration from the Bush crime family. I realize he has done or attempted to do some positive things, considering what he was left with. But there are several issues on the table here that seem to be, are leftovers from the Bush crime family days. And they're not all about torture and war. They're also about the destruction of the economy. There are issues that the Obama administration seems not ready to deal with. I guess that's the most charitable way I could put it. I hope that's the case. Jesus, I feel exhausted. I'll see you tomorrow night. Okay, take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.